Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back, M3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. I just want to let this song play. Do you hear this song in your head about yourself, Coach? Do you just hear Return of the Mac, like, everywhere you go?
And I don't hear this song. You know what, though? People are so good to Coach Mac when I'm out. I've been out a lot this week with the Southeast Conference tournament downtown.
Oh, man.
And then Hutton and I last night went to the Preds game before that. We went to eat at that new Deacon South. That's a cool restaurant down there on Church, by the way. So people are so I hear a lot of, "Hey, Coach Mac," when I'm on the street and walking around, but I haven't heard this song much played.
Do your Coach Mac stuff. Coach Mac brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance Health Plans. I've had one of those myself. I've basically had some kind of Farm Bureau insurance my whole life. I know they'll take great care of you because they do my family and myself.
Those people are so cool down there. You know, I went down there and met all of those people. You know, Doug Matthews and I went down there, last spring. They're really good people. I mean, really, really good people. And plus, they're really good at what they do.
Absolutely. Farm Bureau, I would agree, the very best at what they do. And they sponsor the very best, Coach Mac. We've had a guy, Terry, who wants to ask a draft question. I told him if he would hold, we just direct it towards you. You cool with that?
Terry, let's go.
Terry, welcome into 3HL.
Hey, Coach Mac, I just want to ask, how did the Titans go to the Ohio State Buckeye Pro Day and look at Terry McLaren? And I'm just trying to see how he would fit the Titans offense or whatnot. And would he compete with Taywan Taylor for the spot?
You know what? Thank you, Terry. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I'm sure they went. I don't know. I haven't heard the results or any of the conversation about what went on there, but I promise you they had a good contingent there. And so I'll find that answer out for you, Terry. I'll be back on the radio, so hit me back.
Bosa, obviously a guy that a lot of people are watching up there. When what you've seen of him, and I know you may not be all the way yet, Coach, into evaluation of players, I think his brothers, you showed me a notebook full of notes. His brother's success would have something to do with it, but that guy sure seems destructive in his own right as well, Nick Bosa.
No. He's very disruptive. And I tell you what he is, too. He is so technique-wise sound, and you can see that. I mean, he understands. He understands how to rush. He can hold an edge. He's got a plan. He's got a counter plan when he works. He's very, very savvy. He's an excellent, excellent football player. I mean, you can see that. You can see, a lot of the same similarities, between he and his brother.
Yep.
But at the same time, he's unique to himself in the fact that he's really good. He can set an edge as well as anybody I've seen. And then plus, he does a great job of speed to power. I mean, I like him.
I love what you said about he's got a plan and then he's got a counter plan. In the NFL, you can't just have one plan.
No,
I mean, if you're Reggie White, you can have one plan. You can run over people till you get to the quarterback. Everybody else has to have a counter plan.
Reggie White had that beautiful hump move where he'd get those dudes on the front of that forklift and just launch them. No, here's what you have to have as a pass rusher when you come into this league: the quality of people that you are going to be skimming the edge on and really working off inside too. They are so much better than what you play against week in and week out in the NCAA. You've got it because people, in the National Football League, you break down individuals. Look, you study schemes, but you attack people. You attack people. And so you break down individually who you're going to go against that week and find out what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, and then you figure out how you can match up their strength to their weakness and be able to take advantage of it at least once or twice during a game, because that may make a difference. But pass rushers have to have a counter move coming into this league, because somebody with just one move trying to bring pressure, they'll sit on that all day, whether it's inside, outside, or it's a bull rush.
And this is even the fastest guys, the guys with that motorcycle bend, all the – Teams will sit on that. If that's all you got, okay, well, we'll figure out a way to stop
that. You're talking about Harold Landry. Like, he's
got to develop a second move.
No, it doesn't matter. If you just have one move, and you know, say you're a speed rusher and you're going to come off the edge, and all you have is an instant get off. It's an instant get off, and you're going to try to swipe club the outside hand and work the edge. Well, they'll set on you. Mm-hmm. They'll set on you and work it against you. And if you can't counter back inside immediately, and I mean in a squint, you know, which is between a second and a minute, if you can't do that, the ball's gone. And so you've got to have counter moves.
We talked about Cameron Wake a little bit last week. It was estimated, or at that point it was speculated, it was leaked that he would get a contract from the Titans. He did. He's a guy that had been on your radar, had been on Jim Washburn's radar with the Titans here,
yes,
going back about a decade.
Yes.
That's an official thing now. Situational guy, yes, but at 37, still able to be effective when he's out there on the field.
No, absolutely. And you talk about that decade. I mean, I was across the hall when Wash started watching that CFL film and brought me in there to look at it. And Jim Washburn was 100% right 10 years ago. I mean, this guy is a pass rusher, and he's technically gotten better every year. He works on it. You talk about a technician. You want to watch somebody really be a technical pass rusher that still has the ability to bend the edge and can do it all. I love the signing. I really, really do. And as I said, I mean, he's got here 10 years too late, but at least he's here.
As you get older, I know for some big guys, they get a little bit lighter. I know for guys who are fast and they start to slow down, they'll lose some weight so they can keep their speed. For other guys, it may be about adding a little bulk. For other guys, it may be change some facet of their game. What does somebody like him do? Well, obviously, you're going to lose a step over time. Father Time's undefeated. But how do you stay technical enough to be able to continue to be effective when maybe you've lost a little bit off your fastball?
Consistently work, and it's a daily thing. And I mean, and it's a commitment to a regimen that is a daily thing. Look, I coached Mike Singletary for 7 years, and I had Mike Singletary towards the end of his career. And just as you said, you know, Father Time is undefeated, but great players,
right?
Like Cameron Wake is, and like I think we would agree, Mike Singletary was. those guys work consistently, and they're constant in what they do, and they're also very self-aware of where they are in their career. And with those two types of things, first of all, they're blessed physically, but they're also blessed mentally, and they've got tremendous, tremendous self-discipline. It takes a lot of self-discipline to be able to do this at a high level for a lot of years, and that's what these guys, that's how they separate themselves, and Cameron Wake has clearly done that. I'm really glad he's here.
Well, we had him on the show, and he said, I never had a drink of alcohol. I mean, his diet and the things that he do, his commitment to his body, most of us couldn't dream of having commitment like that. But that's why he's getting a 3-year deal at 37 years old, because he's committed.
You know what else is important about that? Just the fact that young players in that locker room that are going to come in, you know, to the Titans, those that are already there and those that will come in, to be assimilated and to be next to that.
Right.
I cannot tell you the number of young linebackers that I had that learned so much, not from me for those 10 years I coached linebackers there at the Chicago Bears, but from seeing how Mike Singletary did it.
Sure.
Daily. I'm talking about daily, and I'm talking about in the offseason. I mean, I've got a big thick notebook right here that I just brought in of all the players I've written up for this draft already. Singletary would bring a notebook like this into me every offseason, about 4 weeks after the season was over, blank, and say, okay, what do we have to work on this year?
Wow.
What do I have to work on? And then we'd start in. And so those types of things, I mean, those are the types of things that you can't teach. They have to observe it, and they have to see it. And if they absorb it and respect it and learn from it, then they're the better for it.
Another free agent the Titans have been linked to a little bit over the last couple of days, a wide receiver, Jordy Nelson. I believe we got Joey on the line who wants to talk about that. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach Mike. How are you today?
Joey, what's up, man?
As Mickey alluded to, that I heard him say Monday at towards the end of the show that the Titans have been linked with Jordy. But my question is how would he fit? I mean, I know he's an old receiver, and he played a lot of years with Rodgers, and was almost like Rodgers' security blanket. Would he possibly bring that to the Titans to give Marcus, like Marcus's second or third Delaney, to give him confidence and be his security blanket and bring the experience, the more experience to the wide receiver room?
Joey, appreciate the question. Thanks for the call, brother. I'm very familiar with Jordy Nelson. He's a Kansas State Wildcat. I mean, he was when he was there, I mean, in his early career, part of the career, he was very, very important to Aaron Rodgers. Extremely important. This is a guy, look, that these types of players are becoming more and more essential to offenses in the National Football League because of two things. The offenses have expanded horizontally, okay? They have done this because of the fact of the way the rules are now at the second and third level of defense, where you can't put your hands on them, and it's hard to get a good hit on them. If you have people that understand how to navigate the middle of the football field, and by that I'm saying they understand where defenders are sitting, how to work open, how to run those option routes and get open, how to find the sticks, how to be able to slide and move the sticks and be able to move in conjunction with their quarterback when he's manipulating the cylinder to just move the sticks on third down. Those guys are very, very important now. That's what Jordy Nelson is. He's a real pro at it. I know that he had the injury before he was signed and he went out there, you know, to the Raiders. This guy is a savvy football player, and you can never have too many savvy football players on your team, because it might be three or four plays in the course of a season that might make a difference. That's what you're looking for.
He certainly didn't have the stats that he'd had in his prime, but we looked, Coach, and he had basically all of his catch, touchdowns, and yardage numbers would have been second on the Titans last year, what he did in Oakland.
Well, he's an accomplished player, but he's a smart player. He's a smart player, and he's another one of those guys, you know, that we talked to that really devotes himself entirely to his craft. That's the type of person Jordy Nelson is. And I mean, I've coached against Jordy Nelson. I've had defenses go against him. He's tough to handle inside in there in the middle of the football field.
So let's get into some of these edge guys. I said, are you looking at edge guys? You go, look at my notebook. That's like the first page, edge guy after edge guy. Certainly.
That notebook has like 100 guys in there.
Yeah, but he started with pass rushers. That's the first chapter of the book right there, pass rushers.
That's the one I want to hear about.
Yep, a lot of Titans fans, Coach, want to know. That's got to be on the shopping list for this Titans team. And what are you seeing as you look at some of those guys?
Okay, well, let's just go in the draft. Okay? In the draft and looking at him. And we've already talked about one, you know, the Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa to start with.
Nick Bosa is really technically sound. I mean, he's really good setting the edge. You know, 6'0", 3'6", 266 pounds, you know. Has got good numbers. I mean, he ran a 1.6210, which is a nice takeoff. I mean, you know, he can go 29 bench. This is technically a really good pass rusher. He's athletically, I mean, I'm just reading off my notes here. Athletic, violent hands, impact rushing the passer, stopping the run, a good speed to power guy. Like him a lot. Josh Allen at Kentucky. Love this guy. You know, Josh Allen at Kentucky. Now you're talking about a longer athlete, 6'0", 4'7", 262 pounds. Again, even at that length, 1.6, 3.10, the 10's important for these guys because that's get off. That's what you're looking at. Also an 80.5 wingspan. That's important because if you're going to rush the edge, you got to be able to have some go-go gadgets to be able to reach out and grab them when they try to manipulate a pocket and move back up inside. Even at with that type of length, he still went 28 on the bench, which is impressive,
right?
Because now you know he's got some strength. His game is not built on strength. You could watch him improve during the season on his pass rush. He's got great hips. He can cover some ground. I just watched him. You could watch him as I was watching tape, and I don't have all the answers because I'm really not very smart. But what you could do, you could see him as you watched from the year progress, develop like from an athlete to a pass rusher.
Wow.
I mean, you could see that. I mean, I think this is a really, as they say in the vernacular, a high ceiling player. Okay. You know, it's a very, I mean, he's got some places to go. He's a perfect 34 outside linebacker, in my humble opinion. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State blew the combine away.
Oh, my gosh. You know, to be that big and that fast.
Well, just long. You know, and I was telling you about Josh Allen's wingspan, 80.5. You look at Montez Sweat, 84.75.
Right.
That's the reach now. I mean, he could sit where I'm sitting right here and open that door, you know. So, I mean, that dude, and plus he can run, and he's got production, he's got length, and he's still a little segmented, what I was saying is rush. you know, smooth is not something you would say about him, but he's quick and he's violent. Okay, there's a difference. I mean, you can see some guys are a little more supple than others. If you really watch and look and see, you can still get it done a lot of ways. Okay, so I wouldn't say this is a supple athlete, but it's a long, violent athlete, which, anyway. Rashawn Gary at Michigan. I mean, this is a pass rusher.
Well, people got questions about him.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what the questions are, I can give you – you don't have to serve me. I can give you some numbers here that will just, you know, that blow you away at the combine with what he does. This is a physical specimen. He's very athletically gifted. The production that you see on tape does not match these gifts. And when you look at it, now you can see if you can get, okay, I mean, there's eight pass rushers, I think, eight, nine, you know, whatever it is, that had more than his production, okay, just as sacks. Sacks aren't the whole story, all right?
Right.
But what you see, I mean, you see a guy that doesn't finish all the time.
Right.
All right, now you wonder, now if you can get him in here and get him going, because those types of athletic gifts, it's hard to come by. Hard to find. Not that he's a bad football player. He's just not the player that he could be with what he's got. He'll still be drafted pretty high just because he's got that. You know, a guy that – go ahead.
I'm just curious when you
like
say that.
I love that Mamba hat on you. I mean, yeah. I brought that back to you. You know, Mamba is a training facility out in Thousand Oaks, California, where Quinnen Williams is training.
The best of the best there.
Dwayne Haskins is out there too, where, you know, some – really good friends of mine are working with them, and they brought that to me at the combine. And I said, I know exactly who can wear this Mamba hat and rock it, and you are. Okay, go ahead.
It's a beanie. I wear beanies all the time because this studio is freezing.
It's so solid.
It's sweet.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
We were talking about Gary and some of the question marks for him as far as like the finish and all that. How much of a risk is it to, and even from a broad standpoint, to draft a player like that high that has those kind of question marks? Because he's been in college long enough to where that should have been fixed, right?
Well, not
like, is it able to be fixed?
Let me say this to that. To the defense of college coaches, even at the highest level, they've got 20 hours with these guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And so they've got to recruit. If I were recruiting, which I did for 13 years, and this is one of the first guys I would offer a scholarship to coming out of high school, because these types of gifts, now, as to where they can be developed and what they can do, look, you're not going to get a finished product coming out anyway. And that's what NFL coaches are highly paid for. I was one of them for 30 plus years. That's what you're paid to do, is to develop players. Now, you have to vet, Dawn. I mean, you were a college athlete. You have to vet the person.
Yeah.
You have to vet the person. Now, are you willing? Just like what we were talking about earlier with Cameron Wake, he clearly was willing to invest the time personally and deep down inside of himself to get better and to work it. And then those physical gifts take over. You vet the person, and still, you've got human beings judging human beings, but you've got to, if you've been in it, you can't manufacture experience, and that's why you need to be experienced in how you're evaluating players. This would be a guy that would be a prime candidate to bring in for one of your 30 visits and shut the door and sit down and say, all right, let's go. Make sense?
Yes, to see if you think he has it in him to work the amount that he has to fix some of the question marks on him.
Because there are no question marks physically. The gifts are all there.
One of the most interesting things to me about any professional draft coach is a guy like that, where they check every box physically, but the production doesn't match. And like you said, then a human being or human beings have to evaluate another human being and say, are we the ones that can get this person to play up to the gifts that God has given them?
Correct. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, that's part of being in this business. I mean, I did it, you know, for 31 years, you know, in draft rooms and went through these discussions. That's discussions they're having right now. That's discussions that everybody's having, and that's what you do. But that's why I say you try to gather as many experienced people as you can around you. But then sooner or later, somebody has to make the decision. You have to pull the trigger. And let me just say this too. Nobody is infallible in this business. You know, you're going to make great picks. You're going to make, I have picks that I've been very, very proud of. People that said, you know, this guy can't do it. One of my most favorite is Anquan Boldin. He goes right. to the combine, runs 4.72. We needed receivers. We had none. I said, that's the one I want. You know, a lot of people said, Mac, you got no clue. Yeah. And so I said, well, let's take him anyway. Well, that worked out. I've also had some.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
I've also had some that didn't work out at all.
Right.
I mean, in first round picks. And then you go, the thing that has to happen, though, is you have to be comfortable enough in your own skin and in your own ability to say, I made a mistake.
Right.
Let's move on from that one and try not to make that same one again. Anyway.
Welcome back. N3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. PK Subban set to join us in about 15 minutes to start the 4 o'clock hour. Preds, 3 wins in a row. Coach Mack was at the game last night bringing them some good mojo.
What a good game that was. I mean, they really played well. Look, I'm not a hockey expert at all, but I love the atmosphere. I love the competition. The Maple Leafs are a good hockey team, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a really good game, and that was a great atmosphere. You know, that, I mean, it went for a long time. It was 1-0. Hutton and I went, and I really enjoyed it.
Talking about some of the pass rushers and edge rushers, again, as we head towards the draft here in Nashville, and I'd written down a couple of names, Coach. Ja'Kai Polite, certainly SEC fans know him, and he was productive at Florida, but went to the combine and kind of had a train wreck of a combine.
That's kind of putting it nice.
Production on the field, but that's sort of a big job interview, and it certainly seemed like he had one of the worst interviews that anybody had.
Yeah, he had a rough 3 days up there. I mean, he really did. You know, starting with, you know, his interviews, you know, those things probably didn't go exactly the way that he nor his representation wanted. And then normally when you start off like that and you start trying to dig yourself out of a hole, it normally gets, you start digging deeper, mm-hmm. you know. But, I mean, if you want to just talk about the football player, you know, he played a lot of sub package there as an edge rusher, you know, there at Florida. He's got speed. He's got speed. He's got closing burst. I mean, you know, he's not an elite run player, but he's good enough to do that. Versus a pass, you know, I thought he's really got first step quickness. He's got motor. He's got a finishing skills. I mean, he could play in a 3-4. But then you've got it. I think you just because of what went on there and what happened physically and all of this stuff. That's another one of those guys that, like we were talking about, Don, earlier. You've got to sit down and dig inside his soul,
right.
You know, and find out, you know, what's what.
A guy that has showed up on some random mock drafts for the Titans that I'm curious to hear about because I didn't get a chance to watch a ton of his games, but Brian Burns out of Florida State.
6'0", 4'6", 249 pounds, hand 10. Arm 33 7/8, wing 83 5/8, which is a long wingspan, 4.53 40, 2.62 20, 1.54 10. That tells you something. He's got get off. This is a guy, you know, you start using terms, but I mean, you know, over the years, you know, you develop them and you learn to equate them with what they mean on a football field, what they mean on tape. He's very supple. He's supple. He's loose. He's smooth in space. Now, I would say that he's got good speed off the edge. It's not elite. But his second and third step, he covers some ground. He really does. And so, and I mean, he uses several moves. And in fact, he uses a lot of moves. He knows how to use his hands. Probably once he gets, you know, going against really, really good people, he'll have to pare that down and can't just do, you know, everything. But to me, he needs, you know, his downside, he needs more strength. You know, he needs a little more strength. Everybody was wanting to see, because he came in there and weighed 249 at the combine. He didn't play at that.
Right.
He did not play at that at Florida State. I got fast first step explosion. He's got some flexibility. He fundamentally, I think, understands how, what he's trying to do, what he wants to do. He's got length. He's got good hands. I like the player.
Would he have to carry some more weight, though, just to be able to make it on this level?
Well, it's not necessarily – look, and that's something that players a lot of times make a mistake coming into this league thinking, I've got to be bigger.
Right.
Look, you need to be stronger. You've got to be stronger. There's a difference. If you put weight on like that, where it's muscle mass and it translates into inner, I mean, I get into all this stuff because I've done it for so many years, but you know, listening to strength coaches, you know, you put weight and put strength on that translates into kinetic energy,
right?
Energy that you can actually see and use, but just weight for weight's self, I mean, just like in the normal population, that's not good.
Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech, very productive guy in college, but here's another one of those great debates when it comes to, I'm sure, draft war rooms. Yeah, but he did it at La Tech.
Well, but at La Tech is okay. He had a lot of production. Now, look, he didn't get to measure at the combine. You know, he's got some issues now, but they allowed him to come. They allowed him to come and get his physical and stuff done. When you watch him play, Don did one of his games with Mississippi State?
Yeah, and he was neutralized.
Okay,
there.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that because that's what happened. And I trust you.
I mean, he's going up against
an SEC offensive line,
a pretty potent offensive line.
But that's okay. So. He's going to be going against those dudes in this league too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But look, he's got size, he's got length, he's got power when he hits. This is a powerful dude when you watch him. He's got strong hands. He's a nasty player. I mean, when you watch it, and when I watch guys playing up front, I want to see some nasty. I mean, if I watch a guy that are doing those little bitty subtle things, like when they, you know, you can seriously tell that inside that helmet, they're thinking about splitting that guy's spleen in front of them. You know, I kind of like that because that's what it is. You know, and he's not polished in anything he does. He's got some shock and shed to him. He's not an elite athlete. Right. I mean, he's not one of those guys that you would just wow you, but he plays with a little bit of nasty. He's got some speed to power. He's got some production. I think he ought to fit multiple defensive schemes. He's just, again, one of those guys you got to vet, but he's got something to work with.
And he's raw. He's a raw talent.
He's a raw talent.
Develop him. That's yeah. It. He was also neutralized against, obviously, an SEC team, a very good team, and he didn't have a whole lot of help around him. That would be
the
difference
just say,
at the next level. Yeah.
They could say, we've looked at this guy. If, as long as you stop this guy, you're fine with everybody else. Yeah. So you could certainly game plan and just shut him down.
And Mickey, that is a really good point. And when you're watching tape, you have to discern all of that stuff. And that's why when I'm doing these players, what I like to do, I like to watch when I go three games first, and I go first of the season, middle of the season, end of the season to watch them chronologically play. And then I watch them play the best competition they've played, and I also watch them play the least competition they've played,
right,
to see whether they can play up to it and then to whether they can fight the temptation of playing down to it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. As I said, I'd spent half my adult life doing this and still not very good at it.
I think that's not true. Almost, name some players you
almost
recognize.
Out of time here, and we certainly have some more time leading up between now and the draft to talk about a bunch of individuals. I was going to ask you about this today because a lot of pro days are happening. How important were pro days to go and see a person up close, watch how they interact with the people around them, get that maybe whiteboard time or blackboard time with them? I would think, because at Arkansas State, none of our guys are going to the combine. If you wanted to see them, you had to come to Jonesboro and see them.
Right.
But anybody that had maybe that guy's got a chance, they got so much individual attention on those days.
I mean, that's so important. I mean, I've got about 40 guys that I've got already listed of smaller schools that I want to look at and vet. But that's what you do. And that, look, just like I know the Titans just went down to Clemson's day, and you saw the videos of Mike Vrabel with
flight jacket.
He's like feisty in there too.
Yeah.
Vrabel's a full grown man now. Uh-huh. Don't mistake that.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He's a grown man.
No, and that. But what I'm saying is you go down there and you can get your hands on people. You know, and you can feel him. He can feel the power. You can do that. And then what you say, Mickey, you can sit down with him. You see him in a different environment. You can tell, you know, who the leaders are, you know, how people react to him around there. I love pro days. I mean, I probably made as many pro days for 30 years as I could. I love pro days.
Yeah. That's it, man. Three segments.
Is that it?
That's it. It goes by too fast.
I know, but at least we're going to hear a lot from you leading up to this draft. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
We're going to do a really good draft show, you know, with Mike Keith, Titans Radio, and, you know, and Rhett, Jonathan Hutton. I think we'll get Greg Cosell in here. I mean, this draft is going to be so cool here. I mean, I cannot wait. The only issue I have, I've got so many people that want to come, and I said, you can come if you want to spend $500 a night, because everybody can't stay with me. You know?
I'm full. Hotel Coach Mac
Club
is full.
Club Mac is full.
All right, guys. Thanks. It's fun.
Thanks, Coach. Yep.